This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Next Level Sanctions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, March 3rd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. won't rule out hitting Russian energy for the Ukraine invasion, but officials in Washington fear gas prices for Americans would then go higher.
Oil topped $110 a barrel. Stocks were up sharply, and the Fed proposed a 0.25% rate increase in 2 weeks.
First Instagram, now TikTok. A group of state attorneys general are probing how children may be harmed by the video sharing platform.
And how and why the biggest wage increases in this labor market belong to the youngest workers.
For people starting out in their careers or for people who might have fewer credentials, they're starting at a low base. You know, some people making minimum wage. Lots of these folks are making minimum wage. So if they get a raise, that is a higher percentage increase than it would be for someone who's making more money to begin with. But nonetheless, it's still the most in 25 years.
Gabe Rubin at the Wall Street Journal on workers ages 16 to 24 seeing 10.6% higher pay versus 4% for everyone else. Russian missile debris fell near Kiev's central train station last night, damaging a major heating pipeline with the blast wave breaking the station's windows. Thousands of civilians, mostly women and children, are sheltering in the station at night as they await evacuation trains to western Ukraine. Officials said the missile was shot down by Kiev's air defenses. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken heads to Europe today.
This is a threat to stability in Europe and to the entire rules-based order, which has been the foundation of security and prosperity for people around the world for nearly 80 years.
Meanwhile, for the first time, Russia admitted extensive losses in the 7 days of war, saying that 498 Russian troops have been killed and nearly 1,600 injured. Ukraine hasn't released its casualties, but says its military has killed 5,800 Russian troops. Ukrainian officials have put the civilian death toll at about 2,000. Ukrainian and Russian officials, by the way, were slated to hold a second round of ceasefire talks near the Polish border in Belarus today. As oil prices surge to an 11-year high, the White House says the U.S. is open to imposing sanctions on Russia's oil and gas flows, but going after its exports now could help Moscow. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre said the U.S. says blocking Russian oil would reduce the global supply of energy, which would raise prices even further for Americans. Idaho Republican Senator Jim Risch.
Putin is showing he will not be deterred without more action by the West. It is time we drop the hammer and completely shut down the economy in Russia, and that we do more to assist the Ukrainian defenses.
Meanwhile, some members of Congress are peddling legislation that analysts said could lead to higher gasoline prices. The top Democrat and a Republican on the Senate Energy Committee floated a bill that would ban the import of Russian crude, liquid fuels, and liquefied natural gas. Energy-wise, so far, the White House slapped sanctions on exports of technologies to Russia's refineries and the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, though, which has never been launched. Well, millions of Ukrainians are under siege as the Russian invasion creates increasingly worrisome humanitarian problems. It's driven more than 500,000 people to escape their homeland and forcing people to take cover in bomb shelters, scramble to find food, and sleep in subway terminals. It's not their first rodeo, as you may know. More from Aaron Mansfield, reporter at USA Today. Aaron, what's the situation for some?
Yeah, and so as you said, this was a situation that there was already armed conflict in the very eastern part of Ukraine. The Council on Foreign Relations estimated that 2 million people were displaced and 14,000 people were killed. And that's from 2014 to the beginning of this year. So this is already a country that is dealing with a humanitarian issue. Now, pile onto that a war that's in practically every part of the country, not exactly every part of the country, but it's much more widespread. You have people who at best are hiding in bomb shelters, at worst are fleeing for the border of Poland or Romania, hoping that they'll have food when they get there. Then you have men who are, men and women alike, who are just ready to send their family over the border or to a place in hiding in within Ukraine. And they want to fight. They are a proud people who are not afraid. Well, I had one person who told me, you know, we come from proud genes and we're not afraid to die for our country. It's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the one guy who pointed back to the Cossacks, right? He's like, we're Cossacks. You know, we go back to like the 15th century. We're used to fighting. You know, it's in our genes. But I'm amazed, though. I think the first woman you profiled in your story, this Anna Myasnikova, like it goes to the office. She goes to work just so she can be in a shelter, right?
Yeah, because the office has a basement. She was living in an apartment, and she was able to go to a place that has a basement. And that's what's pretty much happening. You know, Ukraine is just like the upper Midwest or New England. It's cold there. It's the winter. You know, so they're a geography that has basements. And basements are essentially becoming people's bomb shelters because they're underground. She goes to her office to do it, leaves her parrot behind. I think we can all relate to the leaving a pet behind in a situation. Tries to go back to see the parrot, has to go into the bathroom to hide. And I heard that from another family who, you know, they actually have a proper bomb shelter, but they weren't able to get to it in time, so they hid in the bathroom. And, you know, sometimes children sleep in the bathroom for most of the night because that's the closest thing they have.
Yeah. Or in subway terminals, right? There was one woman, she had, like, kids who were ages 5 and 3. She's taking shelter in a subway.
The subway terminals are very common. I think I just saw a stat on 15,000 people in Kyiv subway terminals. They're underground. Essentially, anyone is trying to get underground to get away from the shelling. So subway it is for some people.
We're speaking with Erin Mansfield, reporter at USA Today. Her story is called Putin's Invasion Forces Embattled Ukrainian Citizens to Face the Grim Realities of Combat Again. All right. So as you point out in the story, right, there are concerns about water, power, transportation, markets, banking, all those things that the rest of us take for granted.
Yeah, there are concerns. The United Nations is reporting that they think up to 12 million people could be affected if this keeps going on. That doesn't mean 12 million people, you know, that doesn't mean dead or displaced. That means affected, whether it's their infrastructure, it could be dead or displaced. But we're talking about, you know, we're talking about a lot of civilian institutions, a lot of civilian property that it's being damaged as part of this war.
Speaking of damage, how about the psychological damage too? You referenced the trauma on children.
Yeah, kids wondering why they have to go to another country but their dad can't. Right now, Ukraine is not allowing men 18 to 60 to leave the country. Now, of course, a lot of men would fight anyway, and a lot of women are fighting. But the only people who can leave the country right now essentially are women, children, and elderly folks. So, yeah, you have kids who don't understand why they have to hide in the bathroom, kids who might not know where their meal is coming from. I spoke to the director of UNICEF, or the spokesperson for UNICEF, and he just described what it was like to watch the horror on children's faces. They were in a Western city called Lviv, which is basically the last big city before you get to Poland. It's tough. This is not something that kids are supposed to have to deal with. Kids are supposed to be on the playground. Kids are supposed to be, I don't know, running around playing sports, not hiding in basements and bathrooms to avoid shelling.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Mansfield, reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, a new White House COVID playbook.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us.
Welcome into Wednesday, or rather, welcome into Thursday. The Biden administration has introduced a new pandemic preparedness plan offering more support to schools and businesses to remain open during outbreaks, combating and preventing new viral variants, and providing high-risk Americans with better access to drugs that can prevent severe COVID. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Jeff Zients.
The president's plan, with support from Congress, ensures other important tools like tests and high-quality masks are widely available, accessible, and free.
For example, right now it's hard to get medications for COVID, which must be given within 5 to 7 days of the onset of symptoms. Tests can sometimes take days to confirm an infection. Getting a prescription can be time-consuming, and the drugs remain in short supply. A so-called test-to-treat initiative is designed to dramatically increase supply, especially of an antiviral made by Pfizer. This portion of the program is brought to you by Masterworks. Hey, boomers, I'm calling out to you and some of the older Gen Xers in the audience, myself included. Why? I recently read a report that said we may invest too much in stocks, which is why I was excited to learn about this so-called boomer asset that's giving Gen Z a run for their money. People have been investing in it longer than some of us have been around. I'm talking about contemporary art. Problem was, it used to be inaccessible for most of us. That is, until now. Masterworks gives everyone the opportunity to invest in blue-chip artwork. Everyone from Bloomberg to the Wall Street Journal is talking about Masterworks. Masterworks can help you build a portfolio of contemporary art, which has shown past price appreciation that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 25 years. Now, our listeners can receive exclusive access to their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon. Before deciding to invest, carefully review the important disclosures at masterworks.io/about/disclosure. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Britain's Ministry of Defense says a large Russian convoy advancing on Kyiv has made little progress over the last few days, delayed by staunch Ukrainian resistance, mechanical breakdowns, and congestion. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby concurs resistance has been strong.
The Ukrainians are fighting for their country, and they're making a difference.
Number two.
The State Department says Russia is cracking down on media coverage of its invasion of Ukraine, calling it a full assault on media freedom and truth. The department says Russia is restricting social media platforms and independent news outlets in the country as part of Moscow's intensifying efforts to mislead and suppress the truth of the brutal invasion.
Number three.
The UN says the number of refugees leaving Ukraine has topped 1 million in the 7 days since Russia's invasion began. Alexander Tretiak, mayor of Arivna, spoke with ABC.
We're just afraid that they will just break our border and will move to our direction.
In a video address to the nation yesterday, Ukrainian President Zelensky called on Ukrainians to keep up the resistance. The Congressional Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol says former President Trump may have engaged in criminal conduct in his bid to overturn his election defeat. The committee's court document was filed as part of the committee's dispute with John Eastman, a lawyer who advised Trump on a plan to invalidate election results in key battleground states. Eastman sued the committee in December, seeking to block a congressional subpoena, requesting he turn over thousands of emails. Michael Madigan, the former Speaker of the Illinois House for decades, one of the nation's most powerful legislators, has been charged with a nearly $3 million racketeering and bribery scheme, becoming the most prominent Democrat swept up in a federal investigation of entrenched government corruption in the state. The 79-year-old is charged with racketeering, conspiracy, wire fraud, and attempted extortion. The International Paralympic Committee says Russian and Belarusian athletes have been banned from the Winter Paralympic Games. The about-face came less than 24 hours after the IPC said it would allow Russian and Belarusian athletes to compete when the games open tomorrow, but only as neutral athletes who with colors, flags, and other national symbols removed.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, who's getting the fattest raises these days? We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all. from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Thanks for spending time with us. The youngest workers in the country are securing the fastest wage increases of any age group, the only ones whose gains have outpaced inflation. Gabriel Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says their pay progress reflects employers' strong demand for labor as the economy recovers from the pandemic. Gabe, what are Gen Zers looking at?
They're looking at a 10.6% on average wage gain since last January, which is by far the fastest of any other age group. So they're looking potentially at some pretty big raises if they're moving to the right jobs.
Boy, I mean, part of that, too, is that they generally start at a lower base anyway, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for people starting out in their careers or for people who might have fewer credentials, they're starting at a low base. You know, some people making minimum wage. Lots of these folks are making minimum wage. So if they get a raise, that is a higher percentage increase than it would be for someone who's making more money to begin with. But nonetheless, it's still the most in 25 years, and those gains are pretty stark when you compare them to other age groups. And those age groups are actually racking in pretty substantial wage gains as well.
Wow. All right. So you took a look at these two young folks who are apprentices at this Craig Hospital outside of Denver, Jose Luevano and Jackie Ibarra. What are they going through?
Yeah. So Craig Hospital is a rehabilitation hospital in Englewood, Colorado, outside of Denver. And they now have an apprenticeship program which pays young people, high school students, juniors, and seniors, to be part-time apprentices. And they assist the various rehabilitation therapists, you know, occupational, speech, things like that. And they're working with people who are recovering from major illnesses or injuries. And they're learning how to work in the healthcare field, and they're earning money while doing it. So this, for Craig, the hospital, is a solution to both a short-term labor crunch and a long-term supply issue in the healthcare industry, which is that, you know, a lot of people left the healthcare industry during the pandemic. They want to have a pipeline that sort of secures the future with people who are interested in being in that industry.
We're speaking with Gabe Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Young Workers Rake in Biggest Wage Gains in Tight Labor Market. How about like hotels and restaurants? Same thing for these workers, right? Generally make a lower rate.
Yeah, definitely. So even if they're starting at a lower rate in, you know, potentially working in food service or being a waiter or you know, working at various different service jobs at hotels, they are getting pretty big wage gains because there's so much demand for workers. And that might be at their existing jobs where they come in and ask for a raise, and you know, they have the bargaining power because the employer needs the workers, so they'll get a raise that way. Or you know, we've seen a ton of quitting and job hopping because workers know that if they leave their existing job, they can probably get a different job somewhere else that pays them a bit more.
Yeah. Thanks, Gabe. Gabriel Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, boomers. That's right. I'm calling out to you boomers in the audience and some of the older Gen Xers, myself included. Why? Because I recently read a report that said some of us may invest too much in stocks, which is why I was excited to learn about this so-called boomer asset that's giving Gen Z a run for their money. People have been investing in it longer than some of us have been around. I'm talking about contemporary art. Problem was, it used to be inaccessible for most of us until now. Masterworks gives everyone the opportunity to invest in blue-chip artwork. They can help you build a portfolio of contemporary art, which has shown past price appreciation that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 25 years. Now, my listeners can receive exclusive access to their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon.
Before deciding to invest, carefully review the important disclosures at masterworks.art/Gordon.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, March 3. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Russia hits Ukraine's second largest city. Ceasefire talks scheduled for today. A study says 460,000 families were left without childcare due to a worker shortage in that industry. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis encouraged students at a news conference to remove their masks if they wanted, saying, "We've got to stop with this COVID theater." JetBlue pilot failed a breathalyzer test shortly before a flight from Buffalo to Fort Lauderdale. And three rules for pushing back against inflation creep. We'll have those tips in about 15 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Dell Technologies advisors have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help your business stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. Hearings on Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson will begin March 21st. A first step before she can be voted on by the full chamber in the Senate. Meanwhile, the evenly divided Senate is the backdrop as lawmakers weigh whether to confirm President Biden's choice for a lifetime appointment. Though Democrats expect their narrow advantage, thanks to Vice President Kamala Harris, to be enough to confirm Judge Jackson, there are some wrinkles. Here to explain is Zach Cohen, congressional reporter at Bloomberg Government. Zach, give us the backdrop.
Yeah, so the Senate obviously has been split 50-50 since Democrats won the Senate back in 2020. And while that does mean that Democrats do have a technical majority by virtue of Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote on the Senate floor, there are some sort of snafus or complications or wrinkles, whatever you want to call them, that could make it a little more complicated to get Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation to the Supreme Court actually done in time for the Easter recess, which is sort of the timeline that Democrats are looking at right now. Doesn't mean it won't happen, doesn't mean it... But it does mean that it could be a little difficult at times.
All right. So one of the ways you say that this could get sort of gummed up is with Republicans blocking the nomination. And it's kind of an in the weeds thing. But explain that the best you can.
Yeah. So the first step is, you know, the nomination has to be sent to the Senate and it goes to the Senate Judiciary Committee, which, like every committee in the Senate right now, is evenly divided, evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. And unlike on the Senate floor, there's no vice president of committees. There's no tie-breaking votes in committees. So you need a bipartisan majority in order to actually get anything out of committee. Now, there are a couple of Republicans that have said that they're interested in maybe voting for Judge Jackson's nomination. Senator Lindsey Graham has voted for a number of these lower court picks or even sort of passed on votes in order to allow a nomination to get to the floor, even if he didn't particularly support their nomination. And so you could see some bipartisan cooperation, maybe that allow the nominee out of committee. But if Republicans are dead set against Judge Jackson's nomination, they could do one of two things. Either they can all vote against the nomination, sort of trigger expedited procedures on the floor to discharge it, or if they really wanted to, they could boycott it. And as we've seen with some other nominations so far this Congress, that could have the effect of stalling the nomination with really not much of an end in sight.
Wow. Ultimately, could Vice President Kamala Harris cast a deciding vote for the Supreme Court nominee? Because that's never happened, correct?
That's right. And never in the history of this country has a vice president broken a tie on a Supreme Court nominee. Now, and that's for a number of different reasons, the largest of which being that typically Supreme Court confirmations have been largely bipartisan affairs. It's only in the last couple of years since the quote-unquote abolition of the filibuster on judicial nominations that has become more and more partisan. I think the general consensus is that Harris could break a tie on a Supreme Court nominee like she can on lower court nominees, which she's done, on legislation, which she and other vice presidents have done. It's not exactly unprecedented in that regard.
We're speaking with Zach Cohen, congressional reporter at Bloomberg Government. He's got a piece called "What Senate's 50-50 Split Means for Biden's Supreme Court Pick." There's also this wrinkle, too, of the Senator Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico kind of making things complicated here in a way. Explain that.
Yeah, so Senator Ben Ray Lujan, he's a Democrat from New Mexico, very new to the body. I think he was just elected in 2020. He suffered a stroke back in late January. He's on the mend. He's back in D.C., and barring any complications, he should be back on the Hill and voting sometime in March. And so he's definitely looks to be in good shape. That being said, in the event that every Republican is dead set against this nominee, Democrats could need all 50 votes on the floor in order to get anything done, not just on final confirmation, but on procedural votes on things like to discharge the nominee from committee or to limit debate, all these procedural votes that are really critical to keeping the Senate running. Now, there have been times in the past where Republicans could opt to make things easier by, say, quote-unquote, pairing with an absent senator, where basically a Republican who's against a nomination can actually vote present as opposed to no and kind of cancel out the vote of a missing senator who supports a nomination. This is something that Senator Mike Rounds did for Lujan, actually, just a couple of days ago on the FDA commissioner to get him confirmed. It's something Senator Lisa Murkowski did, even though she opposed Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. She voted present, so that way Senator Steve Daines, who did support Kavanaugh, could go to his daughter's wedding the same day because there was a conflict there. Wow. So there are ways sort of through comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, where these senators can sort of work things out. But leadership is saying, you know, Lujan will be back in his chair in time for all these votes and shouldn't slow anything down.
Exactly. Zach Cohen, congressional reporter at Bloomberg Government. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that people of a certain age are very familiar with the colorful contents of Lucky Charms cereal, either from eating experience or from the commercials that ran ad nauseum every Saturday morning. But along with the red hearts, green clovers, and purple horseshoes, one lucky dog in Louisville found another surprise in a box of the sugary cereal. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers seized 4 pounds of marijuana last week hidden inside a box of Lucky Charms cereal. A CBP drug dog named Carrie alerted officials last Thursday to a shipment of cereal heading from Louisville to a private residence in Great Britain. Now, while marijuana is legal in many U.S. states, the sale, possession, production, and distribution of it remain illegal under federal law. Mailing a shipment of marijuana overseas is also illegal. The CBP praised the, quote, diligence of our canine partners, though there was no word on whether the dog managed to score any magically delicious treats. I would say probably, though. Maybe not the cereal, but maybe something else.
That's amazing, though. Like, you think, like, these dogs do this, I guess, for hours at a time, right?
Yeah.
That after a while, they can still sniff out some pot buried in a box of cereal. Like, after a while, like, I don't know, wouldn't your nose somehow, well, maybe not dog's
maybe
nose,
they get used to it?
Yeah, imagine if you had to sniff things all day long. Like, wouldn't you get, like, I don't know, nasally immune to certain smells? Be like, I can't do it anymore. I'm not picking anything up.
But I guess that's a particularly pungent smell that you might not smell otherwise, right? They're smelling everybody else's luggage that doesn't have that in it. Yeah. And then you smell that one particular thing, which we know does, you know, have a very distinct smell to it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you're going to pick that up pretty quick, no matter how long your day has been at the airport sniffing bags.
It's like when you and I are out drinking sometimes and you get to like your 10th beer. I'm like, Mike, can you still taste that? You're just hammering beers.
Right. And my answer is always yes. Yeah. Leave me alone. And moving from breakfast on to lunch and dinner, there's something happening in California that bears watching all around the country when it comes to our favorite foods, pizza, or one of our favorite foods. A company there recently unveiled a vending machine that uses robotics to make you a fresh pizza in about 3 minutes. The company says the machine allows you to select your own crust, sauce, cheese, and toppings. The machine has a large window, so you can watch your pizza being built before it goes into a very hot oven that cooks it in about 2 minutes. The machines are now available for pre-order and cost around $100,000. Mm. So, you know, you're walking through like an airport or something, or I don't know, some office building. You're like, yeah, I think I need a pizza in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to taste exactly. That's why this is of concern. We don't want to see any real pizza replaced with vending machine pizza.
Conspicuous by its absence was any mention of taste here of this pizza, by the way.
Right. It's pizza-like. You know, here you go. Here's something that looks like a pizza. It might smell like a pizza, but we're not sure if it tastes like a pizza.
Contact me when the Chinese food vending machine is ready. Then I'm interested. Thanks, Mike.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. The 7.5% spike seen over the past year in the cost of fuel, used vehicles, groceries, and just about everything else is the kind of sudden and systemic rise that can give a jolt to most of our everyday spending. With inflation chipping away at spending power, NerdWallet put together three ways to protect yourself. Number one, examine your spending. Trim things like entertainment or travel by just 5%. Also, don't delay a major purchase. Prices will likely rise. And buy more generic brand products and prescriptions. Save by using coupons and store loyalty programs. Use membership cards like Walmart Plus and others to pay 5 cents less per gallon for gasoline. Number two, look for savings. Eliminate any fees you pay for credit cards or bank accounts. Also, renegotiate bills like cable, streaming, or cell phone for any possible savings. And reduce the number of subscriptions you have, even if by just one. And number three, try to bring in more money. Search for financial institutions that pay higher interest rates than you're earning now, or even ask for a raise. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Ukraine's second biggest city, Kharkiv, suffered heavy bombardment as Russia's week-long invasion was denounced by the United Nations in a historic vote, and dozens of countries referred Moscow to be probed for potential war crimes. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an immediate end to hostilities.
The message of the General Assembly is loud and clear. End hostilities in Ukraine now, silence the guns now, open the door to dialogue and diplomacy now.
The biggest attack on a European state since 1945 has caused nearly 1 million people to flee, led to a barrage of economic measures against Russia, and stoked fears of wider conflict in the West, unthought of for decades.
Number two.
The world's three largest container shipping lines have all temporarily suspended non-essential bookings to and from Russia, joining a fast-growing list of companies to shun Moscow over its invasion. Shipping giants, including Switzerland-based MSC, Denmark's Maersk, and France's CMA, all announced yesterday they would halt cargo bookings to and from Russia until further notice.
Number three.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told Congress he will propose a 25 basis point interest rate hike at the central bank's meeting in 2 weeks as the economy battles soaring inflation not seen in four decades. Powell says it's too soon to say how the war and sanctions on Russia would affect the U.S. economy.
Making appropriate monetary policy in this environment requires a recognition that the economy evolves in unexpected ways. We will need to be nimble in responding to incoming data and the evolving outlook.
The Dow Industrial surged 596 after Powell indicated a quarter and not a half-point rate hike. The House is set to pass legislation that would dramatically boost health care services and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. The bill, set for a vote today, has the backing of the nation's major veterans groups and underscores the continued cost of war years after the fighting has stopped. Fitbit is recalling 1.7 million Ioniq smartwatches because the fitness product's lithium-ion battery can overheat, posing a burn hazard. The San Francisco-based company has received at least 115 reports in the U.S. of the battery in the watch overheating and 78 reports of burn injuries.
Oh my goodness. All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, youth groups rally for Ukraine.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you're with us. Prayer vigils and rallies for peace are being held by concerned citizens in the U.S. and around the globe as Ukraine battles the Russian invasion. Youth groups and schools throughout the country are doing their part to send well wishes to the people directly impacted by the war and protest the invasion. Fox News says the Ukrainian American Youth Association has been spreading awareness about prayer vigils and peaceful protests 2 days before Russia attacked Ukraine's capital city, Kyiv. The organization urged its members to contact the White House to honor the Budapest Memorandum and put sanctions on Russia on Facebook. Several other chapters have gone on to host prayer vigils, including the organization's Illinois chapter. The Ukrainian American Youth Association has 28 chapters in 12 U.S. states. It reportedly works in conjunction with branches of the Ukrainian Youth Association in 8 countries. Popular social media hashtags, by the way, include hashtag prayers for Ukraine and hashtag stand with Ukraine. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.